22. Under the heading of the greatest commandment, verse 34, Matthew 22, verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Then I want you to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Probably one of the best known chapters in the Bible by many people, even who do not as a habit read the scriptures. But it is often quoted or read in weddings. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain." Remember these three. That's not in the scripture, but I'm telling you. Remember these three. "Now these three remain." These three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is faith, hope, and love. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God. Those that come to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Faith is important. Hope is an anchor in our lives. And the hope, Jesus, or Paul said, that Christ in us is the hope of glory. And then, of course, we have love. Legacy. Something passed on to you from family, including a reputation. legacy, defined as anything handed down to you from an ancestor. This past week, my father passed away, and I was called upon to share, to preach the homily at his celebration of life service. And I began to think about legacy. What had my father and my mother passed down as their legacy? And I was really moved as I contemplated that, and as I reflected upon it as it related to the scriptures and the priorities that the scriptures beckon us to commit to. And I had a new appreciation for the fact that my father, in his living and his dying, had passed on, more than anything else, a legacy of love. And with all of the struggles that we have in our culture with family breakup and divorce and painful partings and all of that, I was reminded of what a wonderful legacy it is to have a legacy of love passed on. My dad passed on, more than anything else, a love for the Lord to us. We have, from my mother and father and their children and our children and their grandchildren and great-grandchildren, we have 50 descendants that come from mom and dad. And the legacy, first and foremost, that they passed on to us was a love for the Lord. Jesus declares that the greatest commandment in the scripture, the greatest commandment, the most important commitment that you and I make and devote ourselves to, the greatest priority in our life, is to love the Lord our God. To love Him with all our heart. No holding back. To love Him with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and all our mind. And I've often reflected on what does it really look like to fulfill this commandment in our lives. To love God with all that we have, all that we are. It's pretty inclusive, with our soul, with our heart, first of all, our soul, our strength, and our mind. Dad loved the Lord Jesus. We knew that. Growing up, we saw him live that out, that truth out in his life. He served as a pastor in the Evangelical Missionary Church for 42 years. In those 42 years, 29 of those years, he served in a leadership position on one board or another within the denomination. But it was because he loved the Lord and he loved the Lord's church. Now, I recognize that, there's lots of times when we are tempted to criticize the church. But we need to always remember that it's his church. We're not perfect. Oh, and I saw over the years times when my dad in pastoral ministry went through some very difficult times. But he never stopped loving the Lord and loving his church. He never stopped. His personal relationship with Jesus Christ had a tremendous impact on me personally as a son. I saw again and again how he lived out. He lived out in his own life his relationship with Jesus, his love for the Lord. And it was the priority in terms of the way he dealt with other people and in dealt with difficult circumstances. He loved the Lord. Jesus had put a song in his heart, and he loved some of the songs sung by the Gaithers. I know some of you don't, but I do love them. I've got to admit that. No, I'm not going to harp on that. But the one song that he learned, which is a newer song from the Gaithers, was loving God and loving each other, making music with my friends, loving God and loving each other, so the story never ends. It's true, isn't it? You know, when you boil it down like Jesus did, the two commandments, he said, love God and love your neighbor, you know. And life to be summarized in two short statements or commandments would be to say that is what life is all about. Is that a legacy that you are passing on in your life? Is that the priority of your life as a parent, as a spouse, as a grandparent, as a grandchild, as a niece or as a nephew? What is your legacy? What are you passing on to those that follow or come behind you? That's a good question. Love the Lord. Dad loved the Lord. That was part of the legacy he passed on. Secondly, he had a love for his first lady. Now, that was one of the greatest things that my dad passed on to all of us as children. His love for his wife, Noreen. Oh, I mean, it got silly sometimes. But he loved her. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 calls, the Apostle Paul says this, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church. For her. And Dad loved his wife as Christ loved the church. That was a significant part of what he left behind. You know, there's a lot of things you can't take with you, you know. In a legacy, in a will, in an estate. All of the stuff, you know, whether it's a house or whether it's furniture or nice vehicles, all, you cannot take that with you. And you can leave it behind for your children. But more important than all of that is to leave them the things that they can take with them to heaven. You know, love for his wife. Love for his first lady. Dad loved Noreen passionately, wholeheartedly, romantically. They enjoyed over 60 years of good marriage. And they hugged and they held hands when they were in their 70s. And they kissed each other. It would, you know, as a teenager, it used to embarrass me. And I'd go, you know, the saying, go get a room kind of thing, you know? Like, you know, we'd say, come on, you know, mom and dad. I mean, they were just so intimately in love with each other, you know? And they weren't inappropriate in their action out in public and all of that. But they... you know, we get to the point where we think maybe some of the things that couples do are inappropriate because we don't see it very often. But they were gushy. They were gooey. The way they verbalized their love for each other in front of us kids and in front of neighbors and friends was a beautiful thing to see. Just beautiful. And I, my dad overdid it sometimes. I mean, I felt like as a teenager, I felt that way. Interesting enough for me, now that I'm older and in my 60s, I have a deep appreciation for the love that my father had for my mother as never before. And the way that he would regularly, daily express that love for her, the romance. I was amazed. I didn't think of my dad as being real creative, but he got really creative in the ways he would express his love for mom. And, you know, we've heard it said, and, you know, counselors will tell you this, that one of the best things that a parent can give to their children is a strong, good marriage. You know, that models how when we mess up, we seek forgiveness, we seek to live in forgiveness, we seek to live in love, we don't remember wrongs, we keep no record of wrongs, as in 1 Corinthians 13. Well, I don't know, that's a challenge, isn't it? I could go on and on about that. Wise men say, only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. That was a song I grew up appreciating because of the love that my dad had with his first lady, mom. And, you know, we need to work hard at loving our spouses the way we should, loving each other, right? That second commandment, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's quite a challenge. Thirdly, my dad passed on a legacy of a love to laugh. A love for the Lord, a love for his first lady, and a love to laugh. Laughter is good medicine. The proverb says it this way, Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful or a merry or a joyful heart is good medicine. And there is one translation which translates it, laughter is good medicine. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. A broken spirit dries up the bones. We're told as parents that we need to be careful that we don't break the spirit of our children. Okay. A broken spirit dries up the bones. That's interesting. Perhaps the one regret I have is I didn't have an opportunity to tell my dad before he died of some of the funny things that have happened to me in this last year. And I know I've told you as a congregation the story of going into the Value Village and buying a shirt, a bold shirt with black background and fluorescent green palm tree leaves, and finding out that they were actually marijuana leaves, and wanting to wear that to the radio station, and Liz seeing me in the office and taking a picture and proving to me through Google that they were actually marijuana leaves on the shirt, and you know, that kind of thing. I would have loved to tell that story to my dad because it's funny, you know, and he loved a good funny story. And you know, there's a lot of times in life, dear people, when we just need to lighten up. Isn't that right? Like, you know, I found when we were going through that difficult 12 years of sickness, was in and out of the ministry and everything over that period of time, that Edith and I discovered that one of the most important things we could do would be to sit down and read funny stories together and laugh. Laughter is good medicine. received some condolence writing from William Purdy. Dad was Uncle Ed to him. I want to read it to you. It's good. William Purdy writes, "My mom always referred to Ed Chester by his full name of Edward, but I have always simply thought of him as my Uncle Ed. I also always thought of him as a gifted pastoral orator." And he made some comments about that. And then he says, of course, "A mention of speed also begs comment on Uncle Ed's fast driving. He could make even my late father white knuckle it during a road trip, which was something given my dad's tendency to doze off while behind the wheel. One has to wonder, might Saul had become the Apostle Paul without such literal intervention from on high if Uncle Edward had been barreling toward him with the gospel on the road to Damascus?" Of course, in the last few years, Uncle Ed had slowed down considerably, but two things remained visibly steadfast to me on a visit to see him this past summer, where Dad was in a nursing home: his devotion to his faith and his love for my late Aunt Noreen. What a force for good he and she were in the community. Their commitment to their church was matched only by their devotion to the family they nurtured together at home. I guess you could call them the original power couple, long before the term was reduced to describing less inspiring unions between fame and fortune. And so we all know that Uncle Ed took comfort in his final days from his faith that reassured him that he and his sweet Noreen would be reunited in heaven. And let that be who so undeniably belonged together has finally come to an end. Of course, it is also quite natural still to feel a sense of loss in their earthly absence from us. So I give my sincerest condolences to Uncle Ed's entire family, all of his friends, and to the many congregations that he undoubtedly blessed. May the belief that our loss is heaven's gain provide succor in this time of sorrow. For my part, I can picture him greeted by my own dearly departed dad with a hearty and baritoneal, "How's it go, Vicar?" Uncle Bill always called Dad the Vicar. And I also take comfort in picturing how tightly dear Aunt Noreen will be hugging him for all of eternity. She was always the best hugger. I think Dad would have gotten a laugh from that writing. One more thing. Dad had a loving concern for the lost. That was on his mind and his heart throughout his life. One of his most favorite verses was John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." For over 50 years, my mother and my father prayed every day for all of their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren relating to their personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were passionate. They believed with all their hearts that the most important decision that any person makes in life is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Even when Dad was in the nursing home and cognitive, I often, a number of times, came in to visit him and saw him sitting in his wheelchair with his hand on the shoulder of another senior in the place praying for them. You know, it's an image in my mind. And when I would get to see him, this dear lady or this elder gentleman, he doesn't know the Lord. You know, I'm praying for him. I was praying for him. beautiful. People need the Lord. People need to know that God loves them and wants to have a love relationship with them. And do you know the only way most people will ever know that is through the people that love the Lord. You know, that we are to go and declare the love of Christ, the gospel. People need the Lord. It was touching to me that on the Wednesday that my father died, and I close with this. On the Wednesday that he died, my brother-in-law, Randy Wagler, and my sister, Deb, were in the nursing home in his room, and they were singing over him. And he hadn't been well, and he wasn't very cognitive at all. As they were singing over him, and they had sung several hymns, he wasn't lipping along or anything like that. But then they got to singing this song. Excuse me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. And they were singing the verse which goes, Jesus to Calvary did go, his love for sinners to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. And as they were singing the last lines, my dad opened his eyes and began to lip those words. And then he slipped into eternity as they were singing that song. I don't know about you, but I want to go out singing, you know. And I don't know about you, but there is a growing resolve in my own heart and my own life that I want to leave a legacy of love for my children and my grandchildren. What about you? What kind of a legacy are you leaving for your loved ones when you're called? Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for the love legacy that's been passed on to me. And I want to thank you for the many in this congregation who are preparing a love legacy to pass on to their family. I thank you for those that are here who love the Lord and who love their first ladies and who love to laugh and have the joy of the Lord Jesus in their life and who have a love to share the good news with people who are lost and who do not know the Lord. Lord, increase the tribe, we pray, Lord. And for those of us who are here this morning who feel like we maybe messed up and failed a lot during the living out of our years, We love the fact that the Lord can restore the years that the locusts eat away. That even though we would be tempted to languish in our failures, we're so thankful that you extend grace and mercy to us. We're just so grateful, Lord, that we can have a new beginning this year, a new start. heart, as Edith often says. The thing I love the most about the Christian life is it's a life of new beginnings. I give you praise. Lord, would you so work in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives that we could work out a legacy of love for those who come behind us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. Worship the Lord.